Welcome back. Did two welcomes there. I don't know what the point in that was. But anyway, it is Monday. So we are fresh off Sunday. It was an 8 o'clock race last night. If you're in the UK like us, if you're around the world, it was another time. But what a race, first and foremost. So don't go anywhere because we do have a great deal to talk about. It was, you know, there was some controversy over the weekend. There's some sad news over the weekend. And then a very, very eventful race with an extremely excited figure waving the checkered flag as the cars went across the line. But yeah, if you are here, please like, comment, subscribe, do whatever you want. You can listen to us as well on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And if you are already, give us 5 stars because it means a lot to us. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, if you really want TikTok. I don't know why anyone would, but you know, just search Racecast. We'll pop up. I'm going to crack on now. I'm not going to bore you anymore. So Matt's going to take over.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. Hope you guys are good. Thank you very much for tuning in. Luke, before we get into the race,
what's the difference between new and brand new? You always say a brand new podcast. If it was just welcome along to a new podcast, what's...
I don't know. It puts a bit more emphasis on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brand new podcast.
I guess it does.
You know. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Have you got a hickey on your neck?
I sure hope not.
You got like, it looks like a kiss mark just on your neck.
I don't know. I shouldn't do.
Oh, Luke's been kissing someone.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Who's the lucky girl? But yeah, all good. I mean, having a race at 8 o'clock on a Sunday is honestly the best thing, right? Because it means that you can watch the football during the day and then you can eat. 8 o'clock comes, racing.
Yeah.
No. What a Sunday. Now you've been...
you want to talk about this?
Matt's 1 year sober.
Which is ironic, really, because I haven't drank since I was 19. But anyway, I got back from Poland. Do you know what? I don't know why I'm wearing this. I just thought it's the first thing I've actually properly won, so I thought I'd wear it. So I was in Poland last week. Got back this morning at 4 a.m. because EasyJet mucked up the flights. So
are you getting money back?
No, because it was adverse weather conditions. They're putting it down as. So that class is that they don't have to give you money back.
Well, but the planes fly above all the weather.
Let's not get into this.
Yeah, like the clouds are here, like the plane's there.
Let's not get into this, all right? Because we'll end up making ourselves look stupid. It's not worth it.
Like, however, Saudi Arabia being a tiny, 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 yeah, tiny country.
I did think that when you said it, but I was just like, I'd just let you go with it. But
it's not that small, apparently.
No, it's massive. I went go-karting when I was out there. Considering, right, when we went go-karting last time, I beat you.
Yeah, but I did beat you the time before that.
Okay, so we're 1-1. We need to go again. So I went out with 5 others, and I have to say, I smoked them. Like, there's not many times when I can big myself up, okay? Because...
I mean, to put this into context, he was racing against my brother, who I'm pretty sure has written off, like, 6 cars.
7.
He's not a good driver, so don't take anything from this.
Just let me have this, okay? So I dominated. Honestly, I dominated. I was so impressed with myself.
He's also quite visually impaired, my brother.
No, he's not quite visually impaired. He's massively visually impaired.
So he probably couldn't see the apexes or anything.
Have you tried on his glasses before?
Well, I did when I was younger.
Yeah, they're so strong.
No, he's blind.
Yeah, they're so strong. But anyway, he finished second.
I mean, that just goes to tell you how the rest of the competition were, doesn't it, really? I was sticking Stevie Wonder behind the wheel and he comes second. Who's he up against? Like Pluto the dog or something.
He finished fourth. No, it was good. It's a nice little track, actually. And yeah, I won.
Were they quick, the cars?
They were, yeah. Very quick. Mm. P1.
Yeah, nice.
So the great thing about it, you did practice, you did qualifying, and you had 2 races.
That is quite good. Proper little setup.
And you actually started in the grid place as well where
it was
you qualified.
Cheap as well.
Yeah, very cheap. Very cheap.
Get yourselves to Poland. It is good. Krakow, isn't it? That's where you've been.
Krakow,
I've been before. Quality.
It's actually quite nice.
If you like a night out.
Yeah, proper cheap as well.
It is proper cheap.
But yeah, I thought, you know, they gave me a medal. So this is probably the only time I've actually properly won anything. So I thought I would bring it along.
You can tell he's had a terrible, terrible life.
Well, mate.
This is the highlight of it.
Okay. Comment down below. Are you one of those people who, like, you know, any sport you do, you dominate, you win anything. If you are, congratulations. If you're like me, which Luke always alludes to, that I'm a bit of a loser, I don't really win anything.
I don't allude to it. I state it.
You're such a dick. When I do win something like this, I like it.
Yeah, picture on the mantelpiece.
Yeah. I mean, I did send a picture to Vanessa and she was like, oh, cool, well done.
You know who I was expecting to be wearing a gold medal yesterday?
Lewis
Hamilton.
Yeah. I can't wear this anymore.
No, this is probably for the best.
Yeah. So let's get into the race, shall we? So as I say, I watched a race in Krakow Airport.
Yes.
Last night, because my flight was only 12 hours delayed. So I got back at 4 a.m. this morning.
Actually kind of worked in your favour, because you weren't going to be able to watch the race. And it did turn out to be like a quality race.
It was, yeah. It was good. So obviously, before we get on to talking about the race, there was some sad news around Red Bull this weekend. So co-founder and owner, Dietrich Mateschitz, died at the age of 78. This guy had done so much for the sport. And, you know, he basically, Red Bull were where they are because of him. So it's really sad for the sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, let's be frank. They're an energy drink company. Do you know what I mean? I know they do a lot more of that, like, are in extreme sports, and that they are a much broader thing than just that. But like at the heart, that is what they are.
Yeah.
So to come into motorsport at the highest level and win 4 consecutive world championships within like 7 years, was it, when Red Bull came in like 2000? They took over from Jordan, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was like 2004, 2005, 2006, that sort of time.
It was Jaguar.
Jaguar, yeah, that was it, sorry.
So, because in the early 2000s, they bought Jaguar, and at the end of 2004, they rebranded it Red Bull.
Yeah, so, and then to, you know, they've produced now a 2-time world champion, a 4-time world champion.
Multiple race winners.
Up against, like, teams with racing heritage, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes now,
yeah,
in F1. Do you know what I mean? It's, well, no, Mercedes did anyway with McLaren, but as a standalone. So yeah, no, it's impressive, and yeah, it's sad news.
But we've also got to remember, it's not just Red Bull. He brought Minardi back in 2006, yeah, and changed them into Toro Rosso, which are now AlphaTauri.
Yeah, so I mean, they've now got 2 teams within the sport, which, you know, let's not be mistaken here either. AlphaTauri, bar this season, are a fairly competitive team within, yeah, that midfield. So yeah, it is impressive, and he obviously means a lot to the whole team. You see, yeah, you know, he was clearly heavily involved, or at least heavily respected by everyone. So yeah, it was getting a win, spoiled the race, for them was obviously important, and they won the constructors this weekend as well. So yeah, it was probably a weekend of mixed emotions for them.
So talking about that, so, you know, after yesterday's race, this is the records he's had since he's bought Red Bull. So Red Bull have scored 79 pole positions. They've had, well, after yesterday, 90 race wins, 6 drivers' titles. And again, after Red Bull being announced the 2022 Constructors' Champions, that's now 5 Constructors' titles in F1. I mean, yeah, he leaves an amazing legacy behind, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, do we have... Yeah, that's a young age to die nowadays, 78. Yeah. Do we have... I know he was... There's always rumours around ill health and stuff, but do we know anything?
No, I haven't heard the reasons why.
It's just because it's so young, like, which sounds mental, but now, like...
But it is young.
Yeah. Someone's, like, 78 and they die, you're like, oh, shit, like, why so soon?
Yeah, no. And so, it is very young now. But, you know... Just have to say thank you. You know, you brought a team into this sport which was just dominated. It's given us,
yeah,
you know, given us some of the best races over the years. You know, last season, for example, you look at Vettel when he won his 4 titles. You know, even when Vettel won his first race in Toro Rosso.
I think you also have to look at what Red Bull have done within the sport in terms of drivers they've brought into the sport.
Yeah.
You know, to name some of the big ones, obviously Danny Ric, Seb, Max Verstappen, you know, they're the 3 notable drivers that, yeah, they've brought in. But, you know, they've brought young talent through, like Pierre Gasly,
Albon.
You know, they are as much as like Allegiant, like I'm wearing a Mercedes hat and you're wearing a Mercedes top, but I think you can always respect when another team has come into the sport and made it so much better.
Yeah, 100%.
It wouldn't be the same without Red Bull.
No, I agree.
As much as every weekend goes past, I think just get them out. They're not welcome. But realistically, when I sit here unemotional, you know,
without them in the sport, it'd be boring.
Yeah,
100%. In other news, so Williams boss Capito says Logan Sargeant will race for Williams in 2023. This is only if he secures his super license points.
Yes.
There's one race left, I believe, which is in Abu Dhabi. He will also get points because for the next remaining races, he will race in FP1.
Yeah.
So he will get points for that as well.
Yeah, he's having another two sessions, isn't he?
He is, yeah. So he's going to team up alongside Alex Albon for 2023. What's your thoughts about it?
It makes sense for Williams.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think right now, I don't see how they can secure an experienced driver.
No.
Someone that, you know, like people were saying about Danny Ric maybe taking that Williams seat. I know it's more Haas, but like there were people talking about, you know, there's a seat of Williams. I don't see a driver like that go into a team like that.
No.
And also at the same time, budget. Like, Williams wouldn't be able to afford a Danny Ric.
No.
Or, you know, if they had to pay such high driver wages, and I know it doesn't count in the cost cap, but they might then not be able to afford to spend as much on R&D. So I think getting a young driver in who's got potential makes so much more sense. And I'm excited to see it, you know, for next season.
So basically, for you who don't know, he's currently third in the F2 standings. To gain his points, he needs to finish in the top five. So he needs to finish fifth in the standards or sixth, provided he gains two extra points from completing the season without receiving any penalty points. So he needs 40 super license points. That's basically what he needs to be able to go into F1. For Williams, I think it's exciting. It's a new driver to the grid. He's up and coming. Alex Albon is now, funny enough, becoming one of the experienced ones on the grid. You know, he's been around the sport for a long time.
And he had a cracking qualifier.
Oh, he did, yeah, he did. But on a whole, I think it's good. I think it's good. And I think the pairing will be good as well. So basically what that means now is there's only one seat up for grabs.
And I truly don't believe Mick Schumacher is going to be the man taking it.
No, I have a feeling he's not. But
he had, you know, another shocker really this weekend.
I find it sad. I find it sad because I had real high hopes for Mick, you know, especially coming off the back that your dad is Michael Schumacher, one of the greats.
Yeah, but
and I know it's different. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's because I was, but
that's the thing. Does that instantly put you on the back foot? Is that like, oh my God, this like weight of expectation? You might be like, I don't feel any pressure. No matter what you say, if you're coming into the same sport that your dad was in, who was the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
There's like a world of expectation upon you.
Yeah, you got a lot more pressure, haven't you?
Yeah, so I think having the name is a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think I like him as a person.
Yeah.
And I would like to see him given one more chance. Because especially, you've got to remember, his first season in Haas, that Haas was a Ford car.
Yeah.
It was awful. You weren't going to get anything out of that.
That first season, I don't think it matters what happened in that first season. You know, he kept it intact more than Mazepin, although he did still crash. But again, I think you can excuse everything that happened that season.
Yeah.
No, but then coming into this season, I just feel like the consistency's not been there and he's still been making the mistakes.
He's had pockets of class.
Yeah, he's shown what he's capable of, for sure.
No, I agree.
But he's also shown us what he's capable of in a negative way as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually takes that Haas seat. It doesn't look like it's going to be Danny Rick.
No rumours about him being Red Bull's reserve driver.
Yeah, there was an interview this weekend from Danny Rick which said him and his team have come up with a plan to get him back into the sport for 2024 in a car that he will go in for race wins. And I don't personally believe it.
So what's he expecting, right? He's going to... And I do say this with the greatest respect for him.
Yeah.
Right. Is he expecting to go from Red Bull to Renault, where his performances were tapering off?
Yeah.
To McLaren, where he really fell off. To then Red Bull reserve driver. To then Red Bull being like, oh, okay, well, Perez's contract is up in 2024. Danny Rick, come and have the seat.
Yeah.
No. Look, there's a reason we speak so highly of Red Bull on this podcast. And it's because they don't make decisions like that.
No. This is his. That was his interview. Apparently he's got plans for the future to get him back into a car where he can start challenging again for wins and podiums.
What I will say is I would love that. If they took him back and Danny Rick started smashing it, I would love that.
I like his confidence.
I just can't see that happening. Like, I can talk shit on this podcast about Christian Horner all I like, but he's not an idiot.
He's a smart guy. They make smart decisions.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to make decisions, as we've seen midway through seasons and stuff like that. So,
oh my God, they're the most ruthless team.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I can't imagine him coming back into a car in 2024 on the grid challenging for wins, in all honesty.
Yeah. As much as I think we would both love to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I like him as a person.
Danny Rick and a Red Bull would be cool. And this Red Bull in particular, which is even more competitive than the one that he drove.
Yeah, but have you ever heard that interview from Christian Horner when it was like a year later after Danny Rick left and they asked him a question about it? He said it was just a real shock because we were expecting him to sign a new contract. We're expecting him to be with us for the following year. And then he came in and told us, actually, no, I decided to leave. And, you know, Christian Horner was actually quite choked up about it. It was like, we gave him everything. And it wasn't enough. But then...
Also, worst career decision ever made, by the way.
100%. But then Christian Horner had a little dig at the end. He was like, well, look how it turned out for him now. You know, and this was when he was at Renault at the time.
And now it's even worse.
It's even worse, yeah.
And I think, you know, Horner says a lot of stuff that winds me up. But I think he's fair to say something like that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. So, yeah, would I like to see Danny Rick back winning races? Of course I would. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I don't think he could do it properly week in, week out with Red Bull when they had a reasonably good car then. And I don't think he can do it now.
Well, even though their car is, I mean, obviously.
But I can't imagine him coming back into a Red Bull.
No, I can't.
I can't imagine him coming into a Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes. I mean, the only way that's going to happen is if he's going to come back into a team like potentially like Alpine or Aston Martin or McLaren. Oh, he's not going to go to McLaren. Aston Martin or someone, if they improve massively next year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's no other team on the grid where I think
I'm just
he would
not sure if he's the driver that he once was.
No. But we've discussed this for ages.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he is as good as what people think.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, I know that sounds harsh, but I think with Danny Rick, he showed a lot of promise when he first started off in Red Bull. But that's because he wasn't fully challenged. And as soon as he got a challenge, he got scared. And he was like, oh, I don't want this challenge, and bolted. If he was a real, you know, proper...
You know what Red Bull fans are going to say here?
What's that?
Oh, but he went up against Seb in his first season, who was a four-time world champion.
Did he win it? No. But if you're a race winner, and, okay, let me see how I word this. So Danny Rick, for example, if you are someone who wants to win races, you want to be at a team, you want to challenge at the top, you don't leave one of the best teams in the grid to go to a mid-table team to prove that. You stay where you are and you fight. If you don't think that you can beat Max Verstappen, then as far as I'm concerned, you're already saying to people, I'm not good enough to be a world champion because I can't go up against the best.
Yeah, like, and what at this time when he left, Max was only like 19, 20, wasn't he?
Exactly. And he knew that he wasn't good enough to go up against him.
Yeah.
So if you're not good enough to go up against future champions or future race winners...
How do you expect to go up against current ones?
Yeah, and how do you expect to actually have that credibility of, oh, yeah, he could win a world championship? No. If you don't stay and fight where you are in the top team at the time, and if you bolt, as far as I'm concerned, you're conceding that you are not a future world champion.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. Apologies if you're a Danny Rick fan. We would like to stress that we like him.
Oh, and we like him. I love, you know,
if
I love
he went, Danny Rick. If he went on to go win races and eventually win a world championship, I would gladly eat my words.
I love the fact that that horse he was riding actually clocked a faster lap time than he did all weekend. Have you seen some of the memes about that?
No, but I can imagine.
Shall we get into the race? So let's start off with qualifying. Qualifying, I thought, was actually quite good. Out in Q1 was Latifi, Schumacher, Ocon, Ricciardo and K-Mag. So both Hasses went out there. It was a bit of a surprise there. Danny Rick again going out in Q1. He didn't help himself this weekend with a helmet saying, "I want to go fast." Is that what did he say? It's like,
because he certainly didn't do that. No. But what I will say in his defence is the McLaren didn't look amazing in qualifying.
No.
And to be fair, it didn't even look that good in the race until Lando got damaged, and then all of a sudden he was quicker. I don't understand that.
Q2 saw Tsunoda, Zhou, Gasly, Vettel and Albon go out. Amazing performance by Albon in qualifying. I thought he was brilliant this weekend.
Yeah, but
every time in the race, I saw was a Williams like either getting involved in something or...
The Williams was terrible around that track.
Yeah, it was.
But in Albon qualifying, the thing is, it's becoming less and less shocking. And I don't want that to take away from the fact that it is actually quite shocking that he's able to perform like that in the car.
Yeah, no.
But I almost expect it from Albon now.
Yeah.
I expect him to take that car beyond what it should be doing because that I rate him highly. I think he's good.
Let's talk about track limits because in Q2, Joel actually did get into Q3 and then he got his lap time deleted for track limits, exceeding track limits, which meant Lando got pushed into Q3, Joel got eliminated in Q2. That's fine. I get it. He was over. It was. However, there is a lot of clips going around after the race that Max Verstappen in the same area, in the same position, exceeded track limits.
And this is Q1, wasn't it?
He only did one lap in Q1.
We can throw up the picture. If you're watching, the picture is going to go up right now comparing Zhou Guanyu's lap or position on the track compared to Max Verstappen's.
They're identical.
They are.
And I'm not just saying this for Max because there was also a clip of Leclerc who exceeded track limits as well, but he did another lap after, so he would have been okay.
Yeah.
But he did exceed track limits, but he didn't get a penalty. So again, there's a lot of inconsistencies from the FIA this weekend. I have no doubt that actually if Max had exceeded that limit, he would have gone on and done another lap and he would have been fine.
If they told him about it, he would have
Yeah, he would have been fine. So again, that's not Red Bull's issue. That is the FIA's issue being inconsistent with their decisions. Because as far as I'm concerned, if Scholes is exceeded track limits and gets a lap time deleted, then so is Max's because they're identical.
Like there's no question about it. So, and it was track limits.
Yeah.
Like you can see it in the picture. I won't show it again. But like that is that. And if you're not going to apply the rules the same to everyone, then like what is the fucking point in having them?
No, exactly. Q3, that's quite exciting, actually. I thought it was quite good. Carlos Sainz, well done, my man.
Where the hell position. Did that come from?
It was a phenomenal lap, wasn't it? I thought it was going to be Leclerc at one point.
Yeah.
And then, Sainz pulls out a banger of a lap.
Those Ferraris looked good all weekend.
Yeah.
I was convinced it was going to be Leclerc taking pole.
Yeah.
But, Sainz comes across. Absolute stormer lap.
So basically how it finished in qualifying was Sainz, Leclerc, Max, Perez, Hamilton, Russell, Stroll, Norris, Alonso and Bottas. Yeah,
we need to give a shout out here to Lance Stroll.
Phenomenal.
P7.
He was good all weekend up until his...
He really was. We will get on to the Aston Martins in more detail, but great weekend for them.
However, there was a lot of penalties, a lot of like different, you know, engines changing, all of this type of stuff, which meant the grid kind of changed for the actual start of the race. So Carlos Sainz started P1. That moved Max up to P2 because Perez and Leclerc took penalties.
Yeah, well, was Perez a 5 place? And
5 place and Leclerc was 10 place, yeah. Lewis was 3rd, George was 4th, Stroll up to 5th. And do you know what? Albon got moved up to 8th. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let's talk about the lap, the actual race, shall we? Because
the lights go out. Carlos Sainz is thinking, I'm at the very front here. I've put in a blinder on Saturday, you know. I've earned this. You're right, you have. I'm going to go into the first corner. It's actually, in my opinion, much more beneficial to start P2 around this track.
Yeah. And it showed.
Yeah. But, you know, that's fine. He can come back at Max. In come George Russell.
Well, no, actually, before we get into the Russell bit, it was an awful start by Sainz.
It was a slow start. You know, I mean, Lewis could have had him, but there wasn't space.
Sainz caused his own demise, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know what you mean. George
was massively at fault of that. But Sainz got himself in that predicament because of his poor start. Because I was watching it and I could just see it was literally like took him ages to get going because Max was like, yep, see you later.
Yeah,
and,
Max flawless as ever.
So Max, again, another brilliant start. As you say, go up into turn one. And I don't know what George is doing. And I don't know if he has a lot of frustration at the moment because...
He really wanted to get ahead of Lewis. You could see that.
Yeah.
He should have just... I mean, it didn't actually affect him, but... Well, he got a 5-second penalty, but I think, yeah, he just looked desperate to get in front of Lewis, in my opinion. And, you know, I do think it was an awkward one for him because Sainz obviously got a little bit out of shape.
Yeah.
Max comes across and Sainz, like, shifted really quickly to the inside. And then George was just there, you know. It was unfortunate. It was, George went too deep. He locked up and that was that. But
so that's... You know, two races now, which has been shocking for Sainz. You know, Japan.
Yeah.
This weekend. Yeah, I mean,
how many? He must have like 5 or 6 DNFs this season.
Yeah. I think as a driver, and don't get me wrong, George was massively in the wrong. I don't quite understand what his thinking was there.
I think he showed his inexperience there, really, didn't he?
I think he's starting to get frustrated. He's starting to make decisions where you're kind of thinking, come on, you're in a top team now, play it smarter.
Yeah. You don't need to rush things.
No, like I say, I'm a Mercedes fan, but I'm more than happy to criticise George. And yesterday he was massively...
Williams, you need to take all those opportunities because you don't get many.
No.
Whereas the Mercedes, he can bide his time.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand it. Obviously, you saw afterwards he went into Ferrari paddock, apologised to Sainz. But he got a 5-second penalty. But Carlos Sainz, you know, for me... You've also got to take accountability in the sense of that start wasn't good enough.
Yeah,
and you're only going to, if you have a bad start, you're going to get smothered. And you got smothered very quick.
That is what happens when you have a bad start. And, you know, these tracks that have these horrible, tight first corners, like this, you know, it's a run up, what is it, like 30 meter elevated hill. And then you've got this horrible, horrible, like 90 degree turn.
Yeah.
But like then straight into a right hander.
It's a great track.
I love the track.
Yeah,
I think it's so good.
I
think Sainz has himself to blame for getting into that position. It was George's fault for...
George's fault, 100%. Yeah.
Like, we don't deny that.
I actually thought it potentially would have been a bigger penalty than just a 5 seconds.
5 seconds takes the piss.
Yeah, I actually thought he should have got more.
He ruined Sainz's race after an absolute blinding Saturday. And he gets a 5-second penalty, which, you know, this track we saw, it gets quite strung out.
Yeah.
Like, it seems fairly easy to pull gaps. I think the race was good, but it did get very separated. So 5 seconds when you are able to pull away and build gaps is a nothing penalty.
I didn't think it was, from the instant, it didn't look like a big enough instant to actually have to retire the car. But for some reason, it must have been enough.
Apparently, it caused a water leak.
Oh, did it? Because it didn't look as heavy, didn't it? As what some of the stuff, you know, for example, Alonso, he still managed to continue.
Yeah, you see Alonso, he's able to carry on, and Sainz gets tapped and spun, and that's it, he's out. No, I know. When he retired, I thought, I just thought they were doing it because they're like, oh, what's the fucking point? He was just like, I want to go home.
Get in here. Binotto's sitting at home going, come on, get in here now. I've had enough of
it. He's like, it's my ball, I'm taking it.
Yeah. Race was going well. Max was pulling quite a good lead. Lewis was in P2, you know.
But Lewis was pulling gap as well.
Yeah.
Lewis and Max were... Max wasn't... Lewis was pulling more away from the guys behind him than Max was pulling away from Lewis. I thought Lewis did a great job at keeping pace.
Yeah.
But Max always had it under control.
Yeah, Max didn't look under pressure at any point. No. He was always keeping those 2-3 second gaps, but, and it was fine.
I was watching it and I was just thinking, seeing these two back at the front, it just reminds you like how, because let's not forget also Lewis's car is a lot slower. I think this weekend it was 7 kilometers an hour slower. You know, it just, I think it goes to show that Max and Lewis are clear. You know, because Checo was struggling against George until he got the fresh tyres later on. But, you know, and Leclerc, he couldn't make gains on Lewis later on. But then you've just got Max and Lewis. They just always seem that little bit ahead.
So we posted something yesterday on, somebody commented on one of our posts yesterday saying, it was so good to see Lewis and Max battling again. And you know, we posted saying, this is why, you know, these two drivers, Max and Lewis, are clear above any other driver on the grid.
I do think Leclerc comes close. I will say that, but I still think there's a gap.
I think there's a gap. So for me, Lewis and Max are by far the two greatest on the grid. And it's interesting because we had a comment going, how can you say they're clear when Lewis is currently sixth in the championship? You know, he's obviously not as good as what he is. The interesting thing is, and you do
have to take it with like context as well.
So Mercedes haven't been good this year, granted. Lewis has come out and the team have come out saying, you know, the first half of the season, there was a lot of trial and error. And a lot of this came from Lewis's car. You know, he sacrificed a lot of performance to try different things. And that's why...
Because I think internally, they pretty quickly wrote off this season.
Yeah. So seeing Lewis in P6, I agree with you, is you would indicate that actually, okay, well, Lewis is nowhere as good as Max. However, you put them in identical machinery, you will have close racing week in, week out.
Yeah, you're going to watch the best races. I mean, so last season, for a lot of the season, they, you know, I think it sort of, they yo-yoed between like who had the best car. And you saw how close the racing was. The cars were really close last season. Yeah. And some tracks you could see it massively benefited the Red Bull. Some massively suited the Mercedes. And that's when you had like the bigger gaps. But, you know, we had close racing. I just think, if the whole grid was in the same car, Lewis and Max would be up at the front every single time racing each other.
Yeah. So I get your point that obviously Lewis is in P6 in championship and obviously he can't be as good. But there's context to that. And actually, I think when you showed yesterday, Max was obviously in the faster car, but Lewis kept on him. He challenged him. And we saw, you know, we're starting to see again the best of Lewis Hamilton over the last few races. We're now starting to see him pick up those points. We're now starting to see that confidence comes back.
Let's not forget, Lewis can still finish fourth.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for next season.
The constructors, drivers.
I'm honestly buzzing for next season because I think Mercedes learnt already quite, you know, throughout the season what they need to do.
Yeah.
Ferrari are going to be up there as long as they clear all their mistakes. And then you've got Red Bull.
Who next are going to have less money and less wind tunnel time because they're going to get penalised.
Do you think that's a good enough
it's going to be something rubbish, isn't it?
It is. However...
But like, if it stops development for next season, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, we obviously, just touching budget cap, we still don't actually know anything because that got on hold due to the passing. So we don't actually know what is actually happening with that, but we'll probably talk about that next week once we know.
Hopefully next week we do have some clarification on that and we can...
They got a $20,000 fine and a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, but that's fine. Then when Mercedes come out next season with a misinterpreted budget cap car and it's just an absolute rocket ship.
I'll take it.
That's fine.
As most Max fans do, so that they've done nothing wrong.
It's true.
So let's talk about the first safety car because I didn't actually see the crash. It was Bottas, wasn't it? Or Bottas retired?
Well, Bottas just beached it. He went off. Can't remember what turn it was. I know what it looks like. I don't know what number it is.
Yeah.
And he just ended up in the gravel.
What it was.
Yeah, which he was having a pretty decent race. He was like. What would you call him? Like a vulture.
Yeah.
Just, there seemed to be these little battles going on and he was just there, like ready to pick off the mistake.
Ready to pounce. Obviously, the safety car came out. Again, good start from Max, managed to clear Lewis. And literally within a lap, all of a sudden, another safety car, because there was a collision, well, say collision, a really nasty crash between Alonso and Stroll.
This was
unbelievable. I don't understand.
Because were you watching it live?
Yeah.
So did you, obviously the angle that we were watching at the time was like from that corner that they're all just coming into. All you see is like Alonso doing a wheelie down the straight. I was like, what the fuck?
And I don't understand, because Stroll, have you heard his Stroll's interview after? Oh, you know, I gave him enough room. No, you didn't.
So I'll make this clear. I wanted to blame Alonso instantly. As soon as they showed that replay, I was like, oh, no. He moved so late on him.
Yeah.
Like, Stroll, this is, just pulling out to the left. And he had already moved a little bit. So, like, maybe he was, like, it looked like he was doing the dummy on Alonso. So he went to pull left, pulled right, and then actually pulled left.
Yeah.
It's on Stroll.
This is where it's interesting, because Stroll has made some... He's had quite a few crashes this year with people because of how he is. And, you know, he's an aggressive driver, which I don't mind seeing, but... I mean, yesterday was... He's got to take accountability for that, because that was outrageous.
I mean, there was no need for it. Okay, Alonso gets the place. The Alpine's a quicker car. You know, there's nothing you can do about that. You were still in a really good position, but instead you just fucked your whole race by driving like a twat.
Let us know. Comment down below. Whose fault was it? Was it Stroll's or was it Alonso's?
So Aston Martin were on for a really, really strong day.
Yeah, up until that point, they were looking good.
You know, losing one position to Alonso. And there was also a lot that could have happened in that race.
Yeah.
There was still a long time to go. And we saw that tyre changes made a big difference.
So for that collision, Stroll has been handed a three-place grid penalty. And I think it was two driver points he's got.
He has,
I mean, if you're Stroll, be lucky you got that, because that was a nasty collision.
I mean, Alonso almost went into the...
Well, he went into the barrier, didn't he?
Yeah, but he almost hit, like, the corner of, like, the service entrance.
It's like, whee!
Yeah, but that could have been a really nasty crash, because somehow Alonso carried on. I mean, he had to go to the pit.
Should we touch on that now?
Alonso's race.
Let's just quickly touch on Alonso's race, because he somehow had that collision, came into the pit... Got a new front wing, went back out and finished P7. And I was thinking to myself, what a drive.
Yeah, because...
It is an incredible drive.
Seb got given driver of the day, which I thought, fair enough. But there was a part of me that was thinking, actually, I think Alonso deserved that.
Yeah.
Because I get it, there's like this affinity with Seb that people love seeing him do well and stuff. And that's great, I understand it. Seb or Alonso, but I do think Alonso deserved it yesterday.
He was phenomenal. However... this was after the race, a protest on Sunday night by Haas against both Alonso's car and that of a Red Bull Sergio Perez, which suffered front wing end plate damage early on in the race, was deemed admissible by the stewards. So the Perez one from Haas's, you know, Haas put in a grievance against it. Perez got off fine. There was no issue from that aspect.
If you don't know what we're talking about here, it was in the first, he collided with Bottas, didn't he, on the first lap. And his end plate, if you're listening, I'm holding my hand up vertically, was basically hanging off at like a 45 degree angle. Now, I can't remember what race it was, but K-Mag got black and orange flags for this exact thing. Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
They are identical, right? K-Mag had to come in and get a new front wing, right? This really affects your race because, especially if it's on lap one or whatever,
you've
got to come in. Get a new front wing, and you can't really do much on the tyres because you've only done one lap. So it's like a forced pit stop where you also have to change the front wing. So you're losing like an additional 7-8 seconds. Now, I didn't understand it. And then the piece flew off and whatever, but I can understand why Haas were pissed off with that.
I mean, again, this is the inconsistencies from the FIA. I mean, again... Unless they love Red Bull, which, again...
There are rumours. Because I'm not fussed either way, right? You know, either don't bring them in for that, or do always bring them in for that.
Yeah, just be consistent.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose when to do it and who to do it to. And
I agree. So the stewards decided not to act on Perez's car, said that was fine. Alonso's Alpine was deemed to have been in an unsafe condition following the crash, with a 30-second post-race penalty imposed on Alonso's car, dropping him from P7 to P15.
Bullshit, that is bullshit.
So basically, they felt the car was actually unsafe and actually shouldn't have even been on the track in the first place. After that crash, it should have been retired.
But do we know why? Do we have more details?
So writing in their verdict, the stewards noted that they were deeply concerned that car 14, Alonso, was not given the black and orange flag shown to a competitor judge to have suffered a mechanical damage. At least a radio call to rectify the situation, despite two calls to race control by the Haas team.
All right, but wait. But the team don't show them a black and orange flag.
No, it's down to...
That's the FIA.
FIA.
Well, surely they need to be like, sorry, guys, that was our bad.
Yeah.
That's like, why is Alonso taking the rap for that?
Yeah, because notwithstanding the above, Article 3.2... is clear. A car must be in a safe condition throughout a race, and in this case, car 14 was not.
So what was the unsafe?
Huh?
What was unsafe about the car?
Well, it doesn't actually say. I think it's more the fact of the damage. It somehow had more damage than it was. It shouldn't have been on the grid. Basically, after that crash, they should have retired it.
But was it Ocon that lost his wing mirror?
That was Alonso.
It was Alonso.
Yeah.
Now that is unsafe.
Yeah. So... apparently, they're saying this is the responsibility of the Alpine team, which Alpine just continued just to argue.
But to me, that's the FIA's responsibility. If they... is it not their duty to black and orange flag them?
Yeah. Well, it is, yeah.
Now, like, put this into comparison as well. George Russell, who fully ruins someone's race.
Yeah.
I love George, but he... he took Carlos out in the first corner, who has worked so hard to get a pole position, and he gets a 5-second penalty. Fernando Alonso, who gets absolutely battered by Lance Stroll, does a wheelie down the straight, almost dies by hitting a wall, is then able to go from dead last, he did come out last, didn't he? Yeah. To finish P7, and then he gets a 30-second penalty.
Right, as I say here, Alonso's right-hand mirror, however, which shook violently before detaching itself.
That when that did come off, I did think that's you can't have that. You can't not have a wing mirror.
No, so basically,
but that didn't that happened a while after.
Yeah, basically, Alpine should have retired the car. I think that's what they're saying. The car was unsafe to be on the grid.
I believe the FIA should have black and orange flagged it.
I disagree because that car still looked solid going round to get P7.
Yeah. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah. Let us know what your thoughts were on that. Let's talk about Max Verstappen. Came in for his pit stop, had an 11-second pit stop, which is so rare for Red Bull.
It could have just been 13.
We've praised Red Bull all season. Well, even last season, they're solid on their pit stops. They're solid on their strategies. But yesterday, yeah.
It looked like the gun wasn't working.
Yeah.
It was one of those things, you know, I think you can forgive it at Red Bull because you'd be like, look, this stuff never happens.
No.
We are always flawless. Now we've had a bit of bad luck. What I did actually really like was Max's message.
What?
It comes on, he's just like, beautiful, fucking beautiful.
Yeah. But did you hear the response from, you know, come on now, concentrate, we're doing the best we can. So, you know, from the pit wall, that's their response back was like, okay, stop digging at us. We're doing the best we can. You know, let's get our head down. Because, you know, Max is one to really criticize his team with any issues on the racetrack. He's very much issued, you know, he will just slate the team, very clear.
I do think it is kind of excusable because he rarely makes mistakes.
Yeah, I agree with you. But as a team... you know, don't get me wrong, Lewis has done it in the past. People slate their team, you know, they go, what's going on, all this stuff. But, you know, look right back at the beginning of the season, Bahrain, you know, Max was freaking screaming down the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's very quick to...
But he has also said before in interviews, he's like, that is just how I am. He's like, I need to just...
yeah, be sarcastic.
Or like, I just need to like, just say it, just get it out and that's it. Some people work in different ways, don't they? You know, some people are able to just bottle it all up and be like, yep, don't worry, we'll talk about this later. Or some people just need to be like, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, from our point of view, we love those type of radio comments, you know.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with them. But
I actually really did. I found it funny when he came on the radio and said that. Like, I thought it did make me laugh.
I know I was looking on Twitter yesterday and there's a lot of comments of like, you know, this team is pretty much flawless and they make one mistake and you still come in on the radio and slating them. It's like, you know, give them a break. But I wonder what it's like as a pit crew or whatever, when you hear those messages back, I wonder how that feels, because you're kind of like, you know, you're doing everything you can. You've got that so much pressure. But do you take it as a pinch of salt, like, oh, it's only Max, he doesn't mean it. But actually, he's not just saying it to them. He's saying it worldwide. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
I think it's just part of the job. Like, yeah, at the end of the day, like, those drivers are in, no matter, there's a lot of high pressure positions within F1. The highest pressure is in the driver's seat, right? You have to expect that they're going to, you know, they do all this hard work on the track. Something happens in the pits and it potentially ruins their race.
Yeah.
You just got to be like, yeah, okay, I understand why they're pissed off.
Beautiful. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And I thought that was a banging comment, to be fair.
Yeah.
And then at which point I was punching my sofa in joy. I was like, Lewis is going to win.
I messaged you. I was like, come on, please, please. All I want to see is Lewis win at one race. That's all I wanted to see. But there's two great battles throughout this. There's a lot of great battles throughout the race. But the two that really stand out for me, Leclerc and Max. Yeah, I thought,
where did that pace from Charles come from?
I don't know. But
it's almost like he needs to be pushed.
Yeah.
Because he was, I mean, they were closing in on Lewis. Granted, he, you know, it took a little time for the hards to really fire up.
Because they came out on mediums, so they're both on mediums, which I did think was a bit weird call, because Mercedes both came out on hards. George and Lewis came out on hards.
But then Perez came out on hards and he was flying.
Yeah. But great battle between Max and Leclerc. I felt like you saw some real class again from Leclerc this weekend. He was pretty solid.
I mean, look, he had a bit of luck with the safety car, but P12 to P3, and he really did give Max a hard time.
Yeah,
I wish he had made it a little harder,
but yeah,
he did. But I don't think he could have. I think he did everything in his power to fend Max off.
And then once Max got past Leclerc, he chased down Hamilton. A great race again for Max.
God, that was intense. My heart was going.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it go from like 3.7. 3.2. I was like, please, come on. Five more laps.
It just can't get under two. I was like, if it gets under two, it's going to get under one.
I love the shithousery, though, from Lewis. His track limits. He's gone off there. Yeah. And then he gets track limits. I was like, come on, Lewis. Go on.
You have to try everything in these situations. Because Lewis knew that once he got within DRS, he was a sitting duck.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, he got past him. So he was like, right, what have I got? Oh, track limits. Let's just use that.
I just feel like this race just gives us heartbreak, because last year Lewis was chasing down Max because of the dirty air. He just couldn't get close enough to get in that DRS zone.
Well, and then Max got the DRS off one of the Hasses. And that gave him the gap.
But and then yesterday Lewis was leading it. I was thinking, come on, please. And then
I was like, karma.
But no, on a whole, great racing from Max, Lewis and Leclerc yesterday. Really enjoyable. Max, again, was in a league of his own. That car is just a rocket ship. It's ridiculous.
That car's a rocket ship, but there is also an astronaut driving it. Do you know what I mean? Because Perez has the same car and he can catch Lewis.
No.
So, you know, this is where I make the point again. Lewis and Max are the best drivers on the grid, and it is instantly a better race when you're watching them two race each other.
Yeah. You feel like you're more involved in it. It feels like, you know, you always know, like, if it's Leclerc and Max, Max 9 times out of 10 is going to come out on top.
And also because that battle is too nice.
Yeah.
You still see it when Lewis and Max there's aggression in both of their driving. I don't think it's, you know, there was a lot of accusations of it just being Max as the aggressor. Lewis is just as aggressive. Yeah, so. Maybe last season, Max obviously crossed the line a few times. There were arguments that Lewis did
I think Lewis did as well.
But I think it makes it better. When they look like they really want to go for each other, it just makes it better. And I always think when you see Charles and Max racing, it's too nice.
Yeah. No, I love seeing it. Lewis and Max, next year, if they can get Mercedes can get their car sorted. And it shows a lot of people, do you know what? A lot of people keep going, oh, George is better than Lewis. No. There's no comparison.
George is brilliant. He's a young, brilliant driver, but
George is a future world champion. I do believe that. Okay. In years to come, I do believe that if Mercedes can turn it around,
he's got potential to
be a F1 world champion. But the class between Lewis and George at the moment is there's still a massive gap.
Yeah.
There's still a massive gap. Yes, okay, George is leading in the tight drivers' titles, but there's multiple factors for that. But for me, Lewis is, yeah.
And what I want to know is, Red Bull fans, surely you understand this point of watching Lewis and Max race is just, you know, because maybe, I don't know whether we say it as we're Mercedes fans, so maybe we think that, oh, Ferrari fans wouldn't think that, but surely the Red Bull fans that have watched both, so they've watched Max and Lewis race, Max and Charles race, surely you are always more excited or on the edge of your seat or nervous when it's Max and Lewis.
You have to be.
I just think that always seems like the more entertaining race.
Because you don't know what's going to happen with
Because we've seen Lewis have to fight many people this season.
Yeah.
And it is just not the same, even in the middle of the pack. And even when you get Max and Lewis at a certain part of the track, they might not be going for P1. I think, I can't remember where it was, where they had a little battle for, it was like P5 or P4 or something stupid like that.
Singapore.
Oh yeah, Singapore. But there was, I'm thinking of another track. It was a daytime race.
Yeah.
But you're just like, this is why we're watching.
Yeah. No, I agree. I do love that battle. Let's quickly just finish off talking about at the end of the race. So Vettel, last lap against K-Mag, great little battle, comes in P8, and that celebration.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Sebastian Vettel, just reconsider. Stay in the sport. Don't leave because you still have it. You're still class. And as F1 fans, you're going to be truly missed. And just please stay.
And I think Aston Martin are clearly doing something because this car is pushing forward.
Yeah. Well, they had more money, didn't they, from last year?
Oh, yeah. Well, they broke the rules, to be fair. But I think, you know, Seb has said he just needs a bit of time away, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
But, so, you know, we talk about Danny Ric taking a year out of the sport. I don't see how that's going to benefit him personally. Seb, people aren't going to turn down a four-time world champion.
No.
And he also battled for the championship probably 3 or 4 times after that.
And
as well,
this season, he showed moments of classes in races. Like yesterday, that battle was great.
Yeah, I think now the car, as it seems, when the car is working, because you can tell because both of them do better when the car is working around the track, Seb shows, you know, the Seb that we know.
Yeah, no, I agree. So the top 10 Fiesta was Max, Lewis, Charles, Sergio, George, Lando. Vettel got moved up to 7th because of Alonso's penalty. K-Mag moved up to 8th, Tsunoda in 9th, and Ocon in 10th. Shout out to Tsunoda. Solid race.
Yeah. No complaints there. And Lando. Lando lost the little wheelbrow thing, whatever you call it.
That was, yeah, and made him better.
All of a sudden, his car was quick. I don't understand it. If someone can explain that to me. Because he even said on the radio, he was like, they said what was going to happen like with him losing that. And he was like, that might be a good thing. And clearly it was.
But massive shout out to Red Bull. 2022 Constructors Champion.
Dominated, by the way.
Yeah, you're levels above. And so, yeah, congratulations to them. Driver's title, Constructors.
Can I just,
solid season for Red Bull.
Just add quickly, Lewis and Max also broke the record for most 1-2 finishes.
Yeah, and I saw that.
They overtook Lewis and Rosberg. So Lewis and Rosberg had 31. I think Max and Lewis have just made it 32.
I wish we'd started this podcast last year.
Oh, it would have been intense. It would have been too emotional. It would have been cancelled.
I think we would have
been on here like punching holes in my wall.
Shall we talk about the Mexican Grand Prix?
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's a double header. We're going straight there.
We are.
So do you have timings first and foremost?
I do. So timings, FP1 on Friday
is... This is if you're in the UK.
Very true. FP1 on Friday is 7 till 8.
In the evening?
In the evening.
Oh, lovely.
FP2 is 10 till 11:30, which I believe they're doing the tyre testing again, Pirelli tyre testing, which they did in America.
I mean, I don't think we can really touch on that. I don't really think we saw too much.
But FP2, obviously, is very hard to work out who was doing well because, obviously, they were testing tyres for the 2023 season. So the one thing I liked is Pirelli were giving teams tyres, but they didn't know whether they were softs.
Yeah, they had no markings on, did they?
So no one knew what they were testing, which I kind of liked. So I believe they're doing that again this weekend. On Saturday, FP3 is 6 till 7. Qualifying is 9 till 10. And the race on Sunday is 8 till 10.
Lovely.
I like that. I take that. And by the way, the graphics will be up on Instagram. I've had a few messages going, can you please put the timings up? So
Matt was on holiday.
So yeah, give me a break. I didn't do it. So quiz time, DRS zones. How many are there?
Two.
Congratulations. When was the first Grand Prix held?
Ooh. 1968.
1963. That's not bad.
I'll take that.
Number of laps.
Oh, I know. It's a pretty short track.
Yeah.
Going to say 68.
71. You're close, man. And lap record and held by who? I can tell you the lap record was last year.
Well, it's got to be Max then.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, it's got to be. I mean, Lewis has not. He's won a few world titles at Mexico. It's not like a serial winner there. I'm not even sure if he's won there, to be honest.
So what's the lap record?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that it's going to be Max.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it's a 118.2.
117.7.
Oh.
And it's Valtteri Bottas.
Bottas? Oh, yeah. Did he go on the softs?
Yeah.
That when he was told to abort the lap? Was it Mexico?
No, that wasn't Mexico. Oh. I don't think that was. I don't know where. I can't remember where that was.
The last year was when Bottas committed terrorism and went to block off Lewis Hamilton and opened the door for Max, and Max just goes round.
Last year was interesting. Max won. Lewis was second. This was key in the title because I remember finishing this race last year, going, "Okay, the championship's over."
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden we went into the last part and it kind of completely changed. But
and Max
dominated 16 seconds ahead of Lewis.
The real race last year was between Perez and Lewis.
Yeah. And Lewis got a bit of stick, didn't he, last year? He said, well, you know, if I'm challenging Perez, I must be okay or something. Do you remember when he said that? He said it was a comment about Perez afterwards. If I can hold off, he said something about Perez last year. I can't remember.
Yeah, he did say something which people got offended by.
But what's your thoughts for this weekend? Because I'm, you know,
Red Bull has always performed.
Red Bull's
going to win. In like recent years, they've performed so. I mean, Max won it in what 2018, 2019, and 2021. I just think, you know, this is Max's race.
Obviously, it's Sergio's home race. I'm expecting him to be quite strong this weekend.
I feel like P2, because wasn't there that thing last season of they? Because it's at altitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
This race, it's high up, and I don't know how true this was, but there was like that thing of the Honda engines had been, because they'd been developing like jet engines or something, that they were like able to perform at altitude. And that was why the Red Bull was quick round there.
I don't know how true that is.
I don't know how true that is, but that's what they were talking about, basically.
Who is your top three for this weekend's Mexican Grand Prix?
And this is going to sound like I'm sidetracking, but I'm not. It's also bringing in another talking point.
Okay.
Because Mercedes brought a new front wing to this week's Grand Prix, which there's speculation about its legality.
Yeah.
Now that was They also brought other upgrades, which is where they found extra time. This was supposed to be the talk was that this was bringing a tenth or two, this front wing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if we're going to see it. They said they didn't run it because they only had one, and they're going to have more for Mexico.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they set the car up to this front wing, say they put it on Lewis Hamilton's car, and then Lewis dinks a wall in qualifying or even the race, and he's got to get a new front wing, the whole car is set up to that front wing. Now you've got to use a different front wing, not the same, but different, an yeah. actual different front wing. So that was why they were like, we don't want to risk it.
Which I think was fair.
Yeah.
But there's also talking, like you say, legality. Yeah, this.
I'm going to say if that's legal, then I think we're going to see the Mercedes compete with the Ferrari. Because if they're going to find an extra tenth or two.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Mercedes lose most of their speed when we've got fast straights. Now, this has a lot of bends. I know it's got a big pit straight, but there's a lot of turns in this track.
Yeah.
It's a really nasty track to race around. But I'm going to say the Bulls, I'm expecting to dominate.
Okay, so top three.
I'm saying Max, Perez, and then I'll keep it safe and say Charles.
Okay, so my top three is, yeah, I think Max, Sergio. I'm going to go Lewis.
Yeah, well, he's got the momentum.
He's got the momentum, yeah. I'm thinking the two Red Bulls will be dominant. I can't see anyone else winning part
the thing
for
is,
Max.
It's the gap is getting much closer between these Mercedes and Ferraris.
Yeah.
So, while at one point it would seem absolutely mental, well, I did get called mental for putting Lewis up in there.
Well, one of the races you put Lewis to win.
Yeah, silly boy. whereas now I really don't think it's as mental because you've got Lewis who we sort of agree is a little bit quicker.
Yep.
As a driver, and then a car which is now much closer.
I think what you're also seeing is Mercedes are managing the tyres. The tyres are suiting the Mercedes more than maybe they were in the first part.
Ferrari's
of the season.
Deg is somewhat of an issue for them.
Yeah.
Because Leclerc fell off this race as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad shout putting Lewis P3.
No.
I just think they're going to be a bit quicker because I still think that Ferrari is better.
Yeah, no, I agree. Guys, let us know what your thoughts are. Who's your top three for this weekend? Let us know. Should we finish on fan questions?
Did you do some?
Of course I did. When I got back at 4 a.m. this morning, I put a post up. That's how dedicated I am to this podcast.
Okay. Do you want to ask me?
Yeah, go for it. Right.
We've got quite a few there, actually.
Yeah, we have. Alfie_Knight, do you agree that this GP this weekend is concrete evidence that Lewis hasn't lost it?
Yeah, but I mean, look, this is the people, there are people that are genuinely like just regular intelligent people, right? That would have never thought that.
Yeah.
But then you've got, the problem is you see so many trolls on Twitter, and that's where you get this illusion that like people think, you know, everyone thinks, oh, Lewis Hamilton is done. And it's just not the case. People say shit on Twitter for the sake of saying it. Like, it's like one big school playground where everyone is just saying shit to wind each other up.
Yep.
So you do have to take what you see with a pinch of salt. I think if anyone genuinely thought Lewis Hamilton was over or dusted, you know, like there's a screw loose somewhere because you can quite clearly see the car has been a piece of shit for most of the season.
Yeah.
And if you truly believe that he could have won a race in it, like me, you've got a bit of a screw loose. So, you know, let's see, once they've improved the car for next season, how he performs. Then maybe if they have improved the car and he doesn't perform, then maybe you can say, okay, you know, he's getting to the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's shown this season that he is just as good as he was last season, the season before that.
Yeah, Lewis definitely hasn't lost it.
I think as F1 fans, you should be glad that he hasn't, because now he's got someone who can actually challenge him in Max Verstappen.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Who also has a car. that can challenge him.
Yeah, no, I agree. A long question here.
Okay.
This is from our friend Ruta. Did we say that? We said it right last time.
Oh, yeah, on the live stream.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently got it right last time. So it seems that nowadays people are more supporting individual drivers than the teams. For example, my dad is an absolute Ferrari fan and not really has an idea about who Leclerc is. For me, it's an opposite. I support even a few drivers regardless of the team they're racing for. It seems to have changed a lot after Drive to Survive. What's your take on this?
Yeah, well, you know what I think a big thing of that is social media. You get to see drivers' personalities now.
Yeah.
People like Lando. Oh, Lando's a streamer. Do you know what I mean? He could go anywhere and they'd follow him. But I don't think it's necessarily, you know, how many fans did Mercedes gain when Michael Schumacher went there? Oh, I can imagine it loads. Was an unbelievable amount. The same with Lewis Hamilton when he went there. If Max Verstappen went to, well, that would be modern. But I'm trying to think of older ones. You know, they're two obvious ones where I think, yeah, people grow attached to individual drivers.
It's the characters, isn't it? People
yeah,
but, move towards.
But, you know, I think you do also grow attached to the team. I can't imagine supporting another team other than Mercedes now. Only way I would change is if Lewis went somewhere. So I kind of understand their point.
Yeah. See, for me...
But if Lewis retires at Mercedes, which I think he will, I would just continue supporting.
And I still support George. So, you know, for me, I'm a Mercedes fan. So, yeah.
But if Lewis moved to Red Bull, imagine, all hell breaks loose, right?
That would be a struggle.
Would you be buying the Red Bull merch? Lewis, see, that's the thing.
I'd still support Lewis. Lewis would be the one I'd be supporting. Would I buy a Red Bull merch? It'd be a struggle for me to buy a Red Bull merch, especially after
2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, though.
But also, I'd be worried about Lewis's mentality of going to Red Bull after everything that's happened.
It would never happen. But yeah, I mean, let us know if you're listening or watching. Do you support a driver or a team? I might ask that on the Instagram later.
Yeah, no, I like that. Jake has said, should F1 bring back the old tyre selection, i.e. super soft, ultra soft?
No, that's too confusing. No, yeah. Way too confusing.
Keep it as it is. You don't want to add in too many and just ridiculous. I like the fact you got the soft, the mediums, the hards, the inters, the wets. That's a perfect selection.
Yeah, because us as fans, I know they have different compounds within that, like the C1, the C2 or whatever. We don't need to know about that shit. That doesn't matter. Just medium, soft, hard, perfect.
Yeah,
we all understand the concept. Hard, slowest, last longest. And I know it's the same, but when you get so many different, it gets way too confusing.
I agree, yeah. Final question. What do you think should happen to Red Bull? I know we've kind of touched on this, and it's still very unclear what is actually happening.
They should be banned from the sport forever. Remove them. We don't want them. No, I don't know. I stand by the fact that a financial penalty is not significant enough. And I know, you know, you're going to say, oh, Lewis fan, but and I just don't see how you can not affect last season with the punishment. Like, it's one of those things. And I've said, I think it's so unfair if Max lost his title. But if they've been found to have cheated in the season, cheating's cheating at the end of the day. You can't be like, oh, it's okay, we'll let you keep this one. It's just not how it works.
And I think what people got to realise is actually, and I touched on this last week, is, you know, I've had messages from Red Bull fans, well, it's unfair to punish Max because it's actually Red Bull who have done it. As far as I'm concerned, you're a team.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And it's well
You win together, Max. You win together, you lose together. You know, that's how it
you
works.
You cheat together.
You cheat together.
It would be horrible for Max, I completely agree.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes.
I think if it has happened, then the FIA should... Not, you know, crack down now and say
they're not going to, just to confirm.
But you know, at the same point, losing wind tunnel time can affect performance going forward. But do I think it's fair for them to be punished for future races? No, I think if you're going to punish them, you punish them for the season it happened.
Yeah,
I don't like, and I know it happens in football. You get deducted points, or you know, for next season you're going to be deducted 12 points, for example. I don't like that. I like it, the fact that actually, okay, you punish them for the season that this took place in, and then next season we'll start fresh, and then we can have those battles. Yeah. It's no good saying, because you then know what happened.
Forward, it's like bad blood, isn't it? It's like, yeah, we're gonna remember that you've done this. Whereas just be like, look, sanction them for when it happened.
Yeah.
And then it's a fresh slate. Let's just move on.
You know, okay, 2021, Max, Red Bull, we're deducting however many points from constructors and we're deducting this amount of points from drivers. Okay, fine. That's done. Whether that means Max loses his title or not, that punishment has happened in that year, and that's now been, you know, done, and you're moving forward. It's a fresh start. Because if they do get less time in the wind tunnel, then we're going to be saying next year, well, actually, okay, Red Bull might not be as good because they haven't had the chance to, you know, set their car up or do the performance. Well, actually, if we want to have good racing and equal racing, then start fresh next year.
Yeah, and I want Red Bull to be up there. Do you know?
Yeah, competitive. Exactly.
We said all season, I want to see Ferrari, Mercedes and Red Bull all competing for wins.
Yeah.
Because that it makes it more exciting for fans. No, I don't want Red Bull to just, you know, say, I don't think it would happen anyway, but say they got slapped with a horrible wind tunnel cap and they had their budget cap reduced and all of a sudden they became shitters. I think that'd be disappointing. No. You know, so now we're being denied the opportunity of seeing a three-way battle. We're being denied the opportunity of seeing Max Verstappen racing for wins when he's like such a great driver. That to me ruins the sport moving forward.
Yeah, for me, punish them in this season it happened. If they do get a wind tunnel reduction, I will be disappointed and I will feel sorry for Red Bull, because actually they're being punished, you know, from a fan's point of view. I want to see all these teams given the equal opportunity next year to race and actually perform and deliver the best possible car so we can go racing. What I want to see from the FIA is take, you know, account for what happened in 2021 when these things happened. And if it is true, then turn around and go, okay, we're going to, you know, punish you for that season. That's the only season you're being punished for. Now we're starting fresh. That's what I want to see. But let us know what you think. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Because at the end of the day, you know, like we say, we want to see Red Bull up there. We want to see those battles with Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari. Because ultimately, it brings more entertainment to the sport. And that's what we want to do. But yeah, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. Luke, thank you very much. We'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Hope you enjoy the Mexican Grand Prix. Lewis, let's hope he gets his first win. He needs to get a win this season to keep that record going.
Just give it to Max now. Just give it to him now.
Yeah, just give it.
Max, don't even turn up. You'll just get the win.
Have a day off.
By default, it's yours.
Have a day off. Guys, thank you for watching, listening, and we'll be back next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.